Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order and the way it happened, and we're learning a lot. We're one of the probably least popular books of the Bible, Leviticus. It's about all the law that God gave, what they could do, not do, what they could eat, not eat, where they could go, not go, how they could act and not act. God's trying to get himself a people. Now, the reason God's doing this, they never had any laws. This was, they've just been given the Ten Commandments because they had no commandment. They did what they wanted when they wanted to do it. Their flesh is their God. I do what I do because it feels good. I do what I do when I want to do it. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, no. God's got a specific way to live, how to treat the fellow man, how to treat your own body. You know, there's rules as to how you live on this planet. You can't just live any way you want. And so God had it set up. So it's very detailed when he starts off with this group of people who've never had a God, who've never honored God, never feared God. And finally, they've cried out to God, God help. So God helps, and he sends Moses down. His 80-year-old man comes down and got a stick. We got the 10 plagues, you know, and the lice and the flies and the blood, and it's a mess. And finally, Pharaoh lets the people go, and they go down to the promised land. They've heard about the promised land for hundreds of years. God told them, I'm going to let you live in houses you didn't build, eat from vineyards you didn't plant. I'm trying to bless you. And so God's trying to bless them. So they're in and out, up and down, but they're moving. So they're moving. Exodus 13, around verse 15, God said, listen, I'm going to take them to the promised land, but I'm not going to take them the shortest route. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but it's in the Bible, Exodus 13, verse 15. I'm going to take them to the promised land, but I'm not going to take the shortest route through the Philistine territory. Because if I take them to the Philistine territory, they're going to meet the enemy. And I'm concerned that my children, if they meet the enemy, they'll turn back and go back to Egypt. And I don't want them to do that. So I'm going to take the long way around so they don't encounter any enemy. I'm taking along down by the seashore. And so, but you thought, well, that ended up dumb because you got trapped between the sea and the Egyptian army. But God knew what he was going to do. I'm going to drown the entire Egyptian army, and they're going to see this. They're going to get to the other side. They're going to sing songs and sacrifice things. They're going to honor me because they realize I'm the one that delivered you. I'm the one that redeemed you. I'm the one that protected you. I'm the one that healed you. The Bible says they left Egypt. Nobody left sick. No sick people. 2.5 million Jews, none of them were sick. They left healthy. They left wealthy. They left the Egyptians unloaded with all their jewels and all their gold, all their silver. They left healthy. They left wealthy. God's trying to do so much here. I mean, if you see the new Ten Commandments movie, it's so good, but it doesn't have all the detail. God says, listen, I'm trying to bless you. I want to give you houses you didn't build, live in land that you didn't have on your own, eat from vineyards you didn't plant, give you wealth that's not yours, give you health that you've never had before. I'm trying to bless you to create a people that will make the world ask them about the hope that's in them. How'd you get so lucky? There's no such thing as luck. There's God, the devil, heaven and hell. We're in between like an Oreo cookie, and we chose God. We're blessed simply because we chose God. How'd you get so blessed? We chose God. How'd you get all this good stuff? We chose God. How'd you get that big house? We chose God. How'd you get that big vineyard? We chose God. God was trying to get a people that the world would ask them about the hope that sent them to say, it's all Jesus. Everything's because of Jesus. And then God's still looking for the same thing today. He's not changed his mind. God's trying to find a people that will provoke the world to jealousy. They'll make the world ask them about the hope that's in them. Oh, that was so good. So we're picking up today in chapter 12 of Leviticus, and there's a lot of detail here, but it's really good. Verse 1 of chapter 12 of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a woman becomes pregnant, gives birth to a son, she'll be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her menstrual period. On the 8th day, the boy's foreskin must be circumcised. After waiting 33 days, she shall be purified from the bleeding of childbirth. During this time of purification, she must not touch anything that is set up, that is set apart as holy. She must not enter the sanctuary until the time of purification is over. If a woman gives birth to a daughter, she'll be ceremonially unclean for 2 weeks. This is, she is unclean during her menstrual period. After waiting 66 days, she'll be purified from the bleeding of childbirth. When the time of purification is completed, either for a son or a daughter, the woman's become a one-year lamb. Bring a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering, a young pigeon, or a turtle dove for purification offering. Just bring her offering to the priest at the entrance of the temple. The priest will present the offering to the Lord and will purify her. Then she'll be ceremonially clean again after her bleeding childbirth. These are the instructions for a woman after the birth of a son or a daughter. Now, is that just not detail or what? I mean, you never heard that if you ever had a baby. You ever had a baby? It's like, whoa. Chapter 13. Serious skin disease. Lord said to Moses and Aaron, if anyone has a swelling or a rash, how about that, a swelling or a rash, or discolored skin, might develop into a serious skin disease, that person must be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the sons. The priest will examine the affected area of the skin. If the hair is infected and has turned white, then the problem appears to be more than skin deep. It is a serious skin disease, and the priest who examines must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. But if the affected area is skin is only white, discoloration does not appear more than skin deep, or if the hair is only in only one spot and it has not turned white, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest will take another look at the examination. If he finds the affected area has not changed, the problem has not spread on the skin, the priest will quarantine the person for 7 more days. On that 7th day, the priest will make another examination. He finds the affected area has faded, has not spread. The priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. If it was only a rash, the person's clothing must be washed, and the person will be ceremonially clean. But if the rash continues to spread, the person has been examined by the priest, pronounced clean, the infected person must return, be examined again. The priest finds the rash has spread, must be pronounced the person ceremonially unclean, where it is indeed a skin disease. That is a lot of verbiage. God was so detailed. He's trying to help the people. They've been a sinning people, infected everything under the shining sun. They had diseases. They were slaves. It was a mess. When they left Egypt, they left all totally healed, all blessed, all prosperous. God was trying to show them, I am a good God. I am not your enemy. You have a lot of enemies. I am not one of them. Oh, that was so good. Verse 12 of chapter 13. Now, suppose the disease is spread all over the person's skin, covering the body from head to toe. When the priest examines the infected person, find the disease covers the entire body, he will pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. Since the skin has turned completely white, if there are open sores appear, the infected person will be pronounced ceremonially unclean. The priest will take the pronounce it as soon as he sees the open sore. Since open sores indicate a presence of a skin disease, however, if the open sores heal and turn white like the rest of the skin, the person must return to the priest for another examination. If the affected area has indeed turned white, the priest will then pronounce the person ceremonially clean by declaring, you are clean. If anyone has a boil on the skin or has started to heal, but a white swelling or a reddish white spot develops in its place, the person must go to the priest to be examined. You didn't have a local doctor, you had your priest. You went to the priest if you had a cough, you had a cold, you had a rash, you got a bad rash, you got a disease. The priest will determine whether you hang out with everybody else or not. The priest was your family physician. He was everything. Whoa. So then the boil has become serious skin disease. If the priest finds no white hair on the affected area and the person appears to be no more, or the disease problem appears to be no more than skin deep, or it has faded, The priest must quarantine the person for 7 days. If during that time the infected area spreads on the skin, the priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean because it is a serious disease. It's starting to spread. The area is growing larger. It's not getting less. If anyone has suffered a burn on the skin and the burned area changes color, becoming either reddish white or shiny white, the priest must examine it. He finds the hair on the affected area has turned white, and the problem appears to be more than skin deep. A skin disease has broken out because of the burn. The priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. Well, it's clearly a serious skin disease, but if the priest finds no white hair on the affected area, and the problem appears to be no more than skin deep, and has faded, the priest must quarantine the infected person for 7 days. On the 7 days, the priest will examine the person again. The infected area has spread in the skin. The priest must pronounce the person ceremonially unclean. It is clearly a serious skin disease. But if the infected area has not changed or spread and has faded, it is simply a swelling from the burn. The priest will pronounce the person ceremonially clean. It is only a scar from the burn. Now, I can go through this over and over and over. It's so detailed. We'll skip down to verse 47. Treatment of contaminated clothing. Just trying to give you an idea how detailed God was. Verse 47. Now suppose mildew. Suppose mildew contaminates some woolen or linen clothing. A woolen garment or a hide of an animal or anything made of leather. If the contaminated area of the cloth of the animal, a hide or the fabric or the leather article, has turned greenish or reddish, this contaminated with mildew and must be shown to the priest. After examining the affected spot, the priest will put the article in quarantine for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest will inspect it. If the contaminated area has spread, the clothing or the fabric or the leather is clearly contaminated by serious mildew, it is ceremonially unclean. The priest must burn the item, the clothing, the woven linen. Can you imagine there's certain priests with you? Well, I'm the clothing priest. I don't care if your clothes are good or not good. Well, you know, I don't have a whole wardrobe here, you know. They don't have very many clothes back then. And so said, but if the priest examines and finds the contaminated area has not spread on the clothing or the fabric or the leather, the priest will order the object to be washed, quarantined for 7 more days. The priest will examine the object again. If he finds the contaminated area has not changed color, being washed again, it did not spread, the object is defiled. It must be completely burned up for the contaminated spot or the whole article. But the priest examines and finds the contaminated area has faded after being washed. It must be washed again, the clothing, the fabric, the leather. The spot reappears in the clothing of the fabric, the leather. The leather article, the mildew, is clearly spreading. Then the contaminated object must be burned up. So I'll give you one more thought. Cleansing skin diseases. The Lord says to Moses, the following items. Now, this is where it gets real interesting. There's a reason for all this. People say, well, that's just too much. No, there's reason for all of it. The Lord said to Moses, the following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from a skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest, who will examine them and place them outside the camp. If the priest finds someone that has been healed of a serious skin disease, he will perform a purification ceremony, having two live birds that are ceremonially clean, and a stick of cedar, some scarlet yarn, a hyssop branch. The priest will order the bird to be slaughtered over a clay pot filled with fresh water. He will take the live bird, the cedar stick, the scarlet yarn, the hyssop branch, and dip them into the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the fresh water. The priest will then sprinkle the blood of the dead bird 7 times over the person being purified of the skin disease. When the priest has purified the person, he will release the live bird in the open field and it will fly away. Now, I'm going to go through all of chapter 14, treatment of contaminated houses, contaminated diseases, contaminated clothing. It goes on through chapter 15, through chapter 16, all up to the Day of Atonement. Now, you got to understand, these people have been in slavery for 400 years. They're coming out of slavery. They're coming to the promised land, renting the house we didn't build. But on the way, they still picked up stuff. And so if you had a rash, a disease, a cough, you had to be brought before the priest. Because they came out of Egypt totally healthy. But they might pick some on the way. Because they didn't stay that way. And so God had a ceremony for checking them out every day, every week. Are you okay? Are you still okay? You feeling good? You got a cough? You got bad breath? You got a rash somewhere? We have a thing to take care of. We don't just leave it alone and let it spread like a wildfire, like the bubonic plague. No, we're not going to let it spread. God said, we're confronted. We have method to deal with it. If it's semi-serious, we're going to sit it over here. If it's very serious, we're going to sit it over here. If it's not serious, we're going to sit it over here. We have a way of healing and dealing with everything that comes up. So in your mind, you thought, I don't care what I get, there's a way out. I don't care what I have, there's a way out. I don't care what I've caught, there's a way out. God's thing, through all the detail, was the bottom line you had to realize as a person, there's a way out. There's always a way out. The grace of God went through all this law and all the stuff. You got to spit in the wind, sit to the north, squat to the south, and lay to the east. No, there's a reason for all of it. God has a reason for everything he's doing, every way he does it. So the people were encouraged. They weren't depressed. They were encouraged. Hey, I think I got a rash. I got to go see the priest. You got a doctor? No, we have the priest. The priest is the doctor. And I'll answer questions. He'll inspect me. And he may ask me to go over here for 7 days. I got to hang out in this other neighborhood for 7 days. Then I come back. He's going to inspect me again. Then if I'm clean, I go back with the family. If I'm still unclean, I go back over another 7 days. They'll inspect me again in 2 weeks. And if I'm worse, I can go over this bunch. And they're going to do some different things with me. But if I'm better, I get to go with this bunch. God had every detail of their life covered. Nothing can come up that there's not already a way out. Well, God said, nothing's ever come upon you. I have not already made a way out. The people of the law, they knew that. Whatever I did, there's a way to get out of it. Whatever sin I've committed, there's a way to get out of it. Whatever mistake I made, there's a way to get out of it. For all the legality of the law, you realize God's trying to let you know there's a way out, people. There is a way out. But don't continue sinning. You can't just keep sinning. There's a way out. So when you read through the law, it's very, very encouraging. I know years ago when I was first got in the ministry, we had to read through the entire Bible, you know, in 1 year. And I went through it and I thought, man, I don't want to read that book again. That was just depressing. And so I knew just enough to be dangerous. Well, a few years later, I went through it again. Then as a school administrator, I went to teaching the law. And I remember, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years, I taught the law, just especially Leviticus. And I had just a class just on Leviticus. So I think like 4 years ago, I taught. Now, I was going through the entire Bible in sort of a highlighted way, but I went just Leviticus and I camped out on it. So guys, there's a reason God asked them to do everything. He's not messed with their mind. You don't have to jump through the wind and kiss the north leaf and then bend over. No, there's a reason he asked you. Whatever he's asking you, there's a reason for it. He's trying to keep you clean, trying to keep you healthy, trying to keep you prosperous. There is a reason for everything God asked. And so when we get to the new covenant, it's just our faith in what Jesus did, but it's still the same God who's trying to bless me everything I set my hand to. God said, I'll prosper whatever you set your hand to. I'll prosper whatever you set your hand to. You're kidding. Well, how good do I have to be? You just need to be a child of God. I'll prosper whatever you set your hand to. I'll make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to, I'm going to prosper. I'll talk to you when you go to sleep, when you wake up, when you walk during the day. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's an incredible lesson. So when we go through the Bible, you realize every book's loaded. Every book of the Bible is loaded with good information. So don't ever be discouraged. If you read something, you don't understand it. Well, I'll come back and read that in another week. I'll get this next month. I'll get it again. So there's no saying go where you get fed. So I tell people when I get them born again, I used to make them read a proverb a day. There's 31 of them. Read a proverb a day for a month. It'll change your life. It'll give you a hunger to read some more. Then you might start reading Psalms. So to this day, people say, what do you do when you get somebody born again? I want them to read the Bible. So I take them right to the book of Revelation. So I want you to start with the last book. It's the only book of all the books of the Bible. It's the only book that has a promise with them. Blessed are those who read and understand the words of this book, Revelation. Wow. It's the end of the story. And it ends really good for the Christian. Now, there's a lot of weaving and stuff and laws and things like, but it's all good. God's not trying to scare us or confuse us. He's trying to bless us. So whenever you realize God's got my best interest at heart here. So read and be encouraged today. Know that God has your best days in front of you, not behind you. And he's going to order your steps. You bless life. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.